You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rothman back in the chair, and since we last were here, City have played 2-1-2, progressing to the quarter-finals of the FA Cup thanks to a comfortable 3-0 win away at Bristol City. Our opponents in the quarter-finals? Yep, Vincent Kompany's Burnley. Bit more of that later. And then at the weekend, a 2-0 victory in the league against a Newcastle side that had their chances, but that keeps City 5 points behind Arsenal, who just keep on winning. This weekend also saw British football's most anticipated fixture. East Fife versus Forfar. Sadly, ending in East Fife 3, Forfar 2. What a shame, eh? Never mind. And before we continue, everyone at the Man City Show send best wishes on a speedy recovery for the life-changing facial injuries Bruno Fernando picked up during his team's latest defeat. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, Bruno. Yeah, get well soon, my friend. If we have time, I'd also like to talk about cities have just announced plans to increase the Etihad capacity to over 60,000. You may have a view on that. And the development of the whole sort of north side of the Etihad complex. So to help me do that, I've got three guests. Welcome to Ian Lees. Hi, Leezo.
Hi, Nigel. Good to be back.
Good to see you. Welcome back to Roger Reed. Hi, Rog.
Hi, Nigel. Hi, everyone.
And welcome back to David Hodgson. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Nigel.
Listen, let's start at Bristol City, Dave, if we can, if you can kick us off. Going well in the Championship. I think they were on a 12-game unbeaten run. It could have been a bit of a banana skin, but in the end, City came out on top.
And look, we came to a place where the fans were exceptionally up for it. I think, you know, the squad came in, as you say, on a good run of confidence. Luckily, you know, we did get our, you know, up and running relatively early. But I did think there was a period about 1-0 where the game, you know, did seem like it could have swung against us a little bit. But, you know, we rallied. By the end, it looked, you know, the scoreline made it look far more comfortable than it was. But I think it was a good cup tie. They were, you know, as I say, very up for it. They had, you know, two quite exciting looking young midfielders in Sam Bell and Alex Scott. And, you know, I think we made it look easier than it was for large spells of that game. But, you know, it's what the cup was all about, right? It's, you know, it's probably their event of the season. And, you know, they played for it. But thankfully, we found the level that we needed to get through.
Very good. 5 successes away games, Leezo. It was good to be back at the Etihad at the weekend. We'll come on to that in a moment. This is our 5th one on the trot away. Tough tie. Dave says we did enough. But at 1-0, it wasn't a foregone conclusion at that stage.
No, but again, when you're in the FA Cup, these are the sort of games that both teams relish. Probably Bristol more than City, because they don't like Pep does not like going to these grounds, these smaller grounds with bobbly pitches. But again, it did the job, and I think we played them in the semi final of the League Cup a few years ago, and
yep.
And the same thing happened again. So yeah, no, job done, move on, and we've now got Burnley.
Yeah, we'll come on to that in a second. Roger, your reflections on the game as well. So it seems a while ago now, of course, whenever we do this. It's like kind of almost a week ago. But anything to add to what Dave and Lisa said on that Bristol City victory?
I think David's spot on. He's got the mood right in the sense that it certainly wasn't a run-of-the-mill victory. It wasn't a foregone conclusion. It wasn't an easy victory for City that maybe the press would have us believe. I think the problem with the press and media these days, they seem to accept that City are going to win, and the shock is if ever they don't win. And of course, we as City fans know that that isn't always the case. Bristol City playing exceptionally well, as you mentioned. It was a tough game for us. And David again mentioned at 1-0 there were a few iffy moments. I thought it was a terrific performance from City against a good, you know, all right, mid-table championship side. But they were up for the game. The fans were up for the game. It was a tough challenge for City.
Can I just mention a couple of players then? Last week you guys weren't around, but we talked about Calvin Phillips, who we kind of said, well, if he doesn't play in this game, then he's got a serious problem. Of course, I think he played all 90 minutes actually in the end. So Dave, you haven't had an opportunity, maybe we don't talk about it very much. Big England star in the World Cup, of course, came to City and was a star at Leeds United, but hasn't featured much. Your reflections on Calvin Phillips?
So I think, you know, he was a signing I was quite excited for us to get, but it was one that came with quite a lot of risk. He hasn't, you know, with all respect to Leeds United, sort of played at quite the same level, you know, with the same level of players around him as he's doing now, even if there were certain similarities in the way he was expected to play with Bielsa. He's clearly a very good distributor of the ball, but certainly there's been moments in particularly the transition phases, which Rodri is so good at, that he's not looked quite so natural. And he had a very good start against Bristol City, I thought. You know, he rattled the bar within 5 minutes. There were a few sort of misplaced passes that suggest he isn't quite on the same wavelength as everyone else. But, you know, I think as the game went on, it wasn't a stellar performance, but he did, you know, start to gel a little bit better in there. I don't think it was maybe as bad as you know, maybe some on Twitter were saying. He is growing into it slowly, but I do just wonder, you know, does Pep believe that there's kind of that pathway for him to really, you know, really provide a challenge to Rodri that ultimately is what he wants from these squad players? That's a difficult one. There has been discussion that he may be being looked at for a transfer in the summer, which I think would be a shame given the fact that usually players tend to do better in their second season with us. But, you know, he's definitely not maybe kicked on in the way you'd be hoping this late into the season. But it is good to see in games like that, Pep is at least giving him 90 minutes to try and get him up to speed, which he wasn't getting in the first half.
I mean, it's difficult, isn't it, Lizo, when you're not playing week in, week out, and you just get this odd chance. It's difficult just to come in and play a part and impress the manager. That can't be easy, surely.
But if you remember, he played in the World Cup, he's played in the Euros, he's been to the Euro finals. And I think it was unfortunate that when he came to us, he came with two injuries. He came with a leg injury and a shoulder injury, which didn't help. And David are right saying that, you can't compare him and Rodri. I think it was one of them that we were looking for just a player, just in case Rodri got injured or he burns himself out, that we can just a fill-in player, which is a bit... And probably not the right thing to say about Calvin, because he's a great player and I think he will settle in and I think he will become a Manchester City player. But, you know, again, we look at Jack Grealish when he first came with £100 million for what? But now, you know, he's now settled in and he's playing well. And I think Calvin will do the same. Calvin, he's a good lad. And he'll do the same. He's got a great long ball on him. You know, probably needs to man up a little bit like Rodri is. But yeah, I think he'll do well.
Rog, quick word on Phillips, and then I'm keen for you to just reflect and think about the quarter-final tie and all the emotion that is attached to Vincent Kompany back with his statue now firmly planted at the north end of the stadium and so on. That is just quite a tie. But just anything to add on Phillips before you maybe give us your reflections on Burnley?
Yeah, I mean, you know me. I think Rodri is having such a fantastic season for us this season. He's my player of the season so far. And I just think it's a bit like saying for Calvin Phillips, great player as he is. It's like being an understudy to Laurence Olivier, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know, how on earth do you replace Rodri at the moment? You've got to keep playing him as often as you can. He is a great player who's got his time ahead of him. I hope he stays. I think he has got the potential to ultimately take over from Rodri. It may be a few years away yet, but, you know, Rodri is just immense at the moment.
So give us your thoughts then, Rog. Kick us off then on Burnley. Vincent coming back.
Yeah, the romantic fixture of the round, isn't it? Just fantastic. The reception he's going to get when he walks out of that tunnel is going to be absolutely fantastic. You can't get a more popular player than Vinny Kompany for what he's done for Manchester City over so many years. He's now a hero in Burnley, quite rightly. He's playing the game the proper way. He's getting Burnley to play the game the proper way. They are absolutely romping away with the Championship, so we'll be seeing him next season anyway. Fantastic. He is the, talking of young pretenders, he's the young pretender to Pep's throne, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Right, so I think you might be being a bit premature there, Roger. I mean, he's not even played in the
Might be 2 years away. Might be two years away.
I understand the enthusiasm that you come with. I think it's maybe a bit too soon to start saying that. I can understand why you might be saying that. But people say, Lizo, that he is kind of playing the City way as well. It's kind of City versus City in a way, isn't it, potentially?
Well, yeah. Now taking the point of Roger, now what if he beats us? Now, that'll be one. I don't think it'll be then too soon for him to come and join us. So we'll have to see. I think it's the romantic round. Great reception. My only thing about it is they've got two players that play for City. Are they still Taylor Howard-Bellis and another? Will they be able to play in the cup tie?
I think they probably will. I don't think they've been cupped. I don't know. So I suppose it does say, depend what their contract says, I suppose.
Yeah,
it, really,
I'm not sure. But no, whatever the result is, he's just going to get a great welcome, of course. And I'll never forget that goal he scored against Leicester. Unbelievable.
Don't shoot, Vinny. Don't shoot, as Aguero said just before he did it. Indeed. Dave, your thoughts ahead of the Burnley clash and Vincent coming back?
Look, I don't think there's, any superlative there is to be said about Vincent Kompany has been said on this podcast 100 times over. You know, we know what he was as a player, what he is as a man, his leadership qualities. But what's just been so impressive is how he's taken possibly the least fashionable club in England under Sean Dyche into a club that play modern progressive football in the style that's, quite reminiscent of some of the stuff that we do. You know, I completely agree with Roger. I think we're, it's far too premature to talk about, where he will ultimately slot in as a football manager. Will he be at the very top level clubs like Manchester City or, where he will find his place? But, he's doing well. I really hope he can, carry that on into the Premier League because, I think we all wish him very, very well. If that could maybe start, in a couple of weeks' time rather than, before he plays us, that would be better. But, the fans will be so excited to see him. I think it's going to be a good occasion for all.
Fantastic. Well, listen, when we come back, we're going to talk about that at a potential extension, the definite extension at the north end of the Etihad campus. We'll talk about the game against Newcastle at the weekend as well. And we'll do all of that straight after this break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Welcome back. Something that was announced a couple of weeks ago, but I've delayed talking about it because I've got two very important guests here. It's no secret, I don't think, that two of our guests have got probably the best job in the world, certainly in my eyes, and I'm sure many listeners' eyes as well. They are very, very lucky people. They are tour guides at Manchester City Football Club. Just think about that for a moment. Spending their day walking around the dressing room, the tunnel, taking visitors from all around the world around the magnificent Etihad Stadium, talking about this, the history of our club. What a thrill and a joy that must be for Ian Lees and Roger Reid. I'm jealous, I really am. But it's really great to have you on, and I've deliberately delayed talking about this, knowing you were coming on this week. I wanted to talk about it today on this week's show. With you. Dave might have a view as well if he gets a look in, but we're going to start with you, Lizo. Obviously, the club have announced, and I guess that the main driving force, of course, is that at the moment we can't have a European final because we don't have 60,000 seats, which, of course, is the main driving force. And at the end of this, we will have that. There's a hotel, there's an arena that's being built, new shop, new museum, City Square is going to be covered, and 3,000 people and new food outlets. Et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it sounds really exciting. Just really interested to kind of get your thoughts on that, Lizo, and how you're describing on the tour, what sort of feedback you're getting from people as you're going around, et cetera. Let's just have a few minutes talking about this exciting development of our ground.
Sure. It's all positive. Anything that we deal with the owners of this club is always going to look to be the best for the players, the fans, and obviously the community. And this project started probably 2-3 years ago before lockdown, where they just wanted, like you said, to have 60,000 seats in the stadium for a final and other major events as well. It wasn't just down to the Champions League final. But since then, like everything else with the club, they go round the world, they see all the best stadiums, they even go to Blackpool and Bolton where they've got hotels, and decided we're going to put this hotel, etc. But remember, there's no final plans on this yet. This is just solely a consultation till the 26th of March, and it is available at the stadium as well at the moment. They do have it open every day, so fans can go and have a look at it. But ultimately, whatever we do, it will be the best. That's all I'll say. You know, we've known this club too long now, and you're quite right, Nigel. It's an absolute great pleasure to work for the club again in good times. And the biggest question I get is, do I get to talk to Pep every day? Well, of course we do. Roger and I talk to him every day. The problem is, he doesn't know us. So. It's a great job. Love it.
Yes. It must be, of course. But both of you, of course, worked for the club in the past as well, in different guises as well. And Rog, I know what a thrill it is for you, having worked the club on two previous occasions, to be back now at your age doing a job I'm sure you love day in, day out. I mean, it must be a thrill, isn't it, just going in every day and walking people around. And you said to me the other day, in terms of the international guests that we get, it's not just people from the local vicinity. You're getting people from all over the world who are becoming City fans.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing. I mean, you know, I worked at City in the 70s and 80s, and the requests for ground tours that we got in those days were like one a week. And they were from people in Blakely and Harper Hay. You know, nowadays, we've got people yesterday, the tour that we took around yesterday. I think we took people from Japan, from China, from Australia, from America, from Norway and from Belgium. And you're thinking, you know, this is incredible. They come over for a like 4-day break in Manchester on the basis that the highlight of their weekend is coming round the Etihad. It's fabulous. It really is fabulous. It's fantastic to see. And as you rightly say, for me at my age, it's just a joy. It's a real thrill doing it.
And in terms of the development, Rog, your thoughts, I suppose, when I first heard of it, and Lisa's absolutely quite right to correct me, this is just a consultation which is going on, and as he rightly says, any City fan can go and have a look and share their views, of course. I think City are keen to hear the fans' view as to what they think. One of the great stadiums, it sort of hurts me to say, it's actually Tottenham Hotspur Stadium is absolutely fantastic, and they have this kind of this wall, don't they? This bank. Mm. And one slight disappointment is that when I heard that they weren't necessarily going to do the same as they have on all three other sides with three tiers, was they're having to sort of keep the lower tier and then make the bank above, so it isn't a solid bank. Sorry if I'm not explaining this very well, but hopefully you understand
where
we're going.
Yeah.
I know you know what I mean.
It's keeping the lower tier as it is, basically, Nigel, yeah. And then building above that. Yeah,
exactly. So you're, that I was a bit disappointed about that. Why would they not sort of make this amazing wall and all the acoustics they can do now, getting the sound bouncing off the walls back into the ground and so on? Is that? Oh yeah, I don't know. I'm putting you on the spot a bit. Are you aware? Is that a kind of building sort of architectural issue, or is that a choice that they're making at the moment? Do you have any insight into that? Or
I don't have insight, I'm afraid, Nigel. One of the issues that I'm concerned about is the fact that at the moment, at the back of the second level in the north stand, there is a row of executive boxes, and I'm not sure whether they're to be retained, whether the club are going to consult fans about that. So that remains to be seen. What I do know is that the stadium itself is almost future-proof. The club have long had ambitions, as Ian's mentioned, about staging these big games. The biggest one is the Champions League final, which, as you rightly say, you've got to get to 60,000 capacity. But they've already future-proofed the stadium in the sense that the dressing rooms are UEFA approved. There are warm-up rooms for both the away dressing room and the home dressing room, which are available now. So they've got most of what they need in terms of the UEFA criteria already in place. So they future-proof. They knew what they were doing when they were building it, and they have got all this lined up and ready. So this extension to 60,000 is the final piece in the jigsaw to be able to stage, as I say, such as the Champions League final. But the plans are fantastic. It's not just the hotel. They're talking about a new club shop. They're talking about a museum. They're talking about a covered fan zone. City Square has proved to be very, very popular behind the North Stand, as you know, for several years. So they want to protect that and actually improve it by covering it. So the rain that we're used to in Manchester will, you know, be deflected away from people that gather in those areas. There'll be improved food and drink outlets. The city store, as it stands at the moment, I understand is going to be demolished, and that this new club shop will be, you know, all singing, all dancing. They're also, you probably know, that they're building this indoor concert venue, and I think that there are going to be closer links with the concert venue as well. So it really is exciting. It's fantastic for City fans to see and to hear about for the future.
I'm going to put a dampener on it now, and I know Dave may have some thoughts, but let me. I'm just doing my job here. So some will say, you know, the empty hat, you can't fill it at the moment. So what are you doing about putting more seats in there then? And there's some talk about, you know, discounted rate for school kids and making sure that people who maybe can't afford to go every week can have the opportunity to go. Any thoughts on that, Ian or Rog, in terms of how would you deflect that potential criticism of the, you know, the empty hat sort of actually building more seats to have even more empty seats the ground? How would you respond to any idiot who might suggest
demand
that?
Is there, Nige? Demand is there, yeah, already, demand, you know.
Absolutely.
The most of the home games, Ian, I think are sold out to the end of the season anyway, aren't they? So, you know, the demand is there. People on tours that we get are saying they can't get hold of tickets. You know, we need that extra capacity for the demand. Don't forget, as I said before, City now are a worldwide brand. They've got worldwide interest, and these fans are coming over to see City, and they're disappointed when they can't get tickets.
One final negative, travel is not great, as we know, and you do get a lot of people leaving early, and you can understand why people have long journeys. People want to avoid the traffic, kids, one thing or another. And we do, you know, 5 minutes before the end, we know just in our seats there are people pushing past trying to get out early. City talks about developing alternative travel methods, and I'm not quite sure what that means exactly. Any thoughts on that as well before I come to Dave? Just one final question. That's something I picked up from the press release. What else are they considering? What else might they be able to do that might just ease the congestion and make it easy for people to get away, particularly at the end of games?
Yeah, Nigel, all I'll say is nothing's off the table. I was, you know, the Nexon Bridge that connects the academy to the stadium. At one point, they were going to put a monorail over the bridge until the architects told them they can't. The monorail will be too heavy for the bridge. So again, it's the thought process. They'll have lots of ideas, and it's just a case of, and with the logistics of the travel, they then have to bring into the council and highways agencies to see how we can do it. But again, it will be there, because you think about that area, that's regenerated from a coal mine, a wireworks, a gas works, and a chemical company into one of the best facilities in the UK. So yeah, all credit to them, to be honest with you.
I'm excited about the new store. I just hope it sort of replicates Janice's souvenir shop. That's all I can say. That would be amazing. to bring that back would be just fantastic.
Oh, brilliant.
And if Dave, if you don't know what I'm talking about, talk to your granddad. He'll be able to explain all about that to you. Dave, before we move on, I'm keen to talk about the Newcastle game and also look forward to Crystal Palace at the weekend as well. Roger and Ian, thanks very much for that insight. It's absolutely brilliant. And what a thrill for you to, as I say, day in, day out doing that job. Dave, your thoughts about these expansion plans.
So I mean, you know, it's kind of, yeah, as the gent said, you know, they know so much about this. It's been really interesting to hear. I mean, it's remarkable. You know, you think certainly where we've come from, certainly what the area was, and you can see almost, you know, if you go, you know, if you take a snapshot year on year, start of each season, I look around and the neighborhood looks different, things look better, things are improving. And I think it's a real testament to the club that they've kind of dragged the area with the club in the promotion. Mm. You know, as we've sort of, well, I don't mean promotion, as we've improved, as we've developed things, we've really brought the area on with us. And I think that's a real testament to the club and what they stand for. You know, it's interesting as well. They're going for this more sort of holistic event-based approach. I mean, I guess for a lot of fans, it won't necessarily mean that much. But for the locals, you know, giving year-round opportunities rather than just sort of more seasonal stuff based on football, I think that's going to be really exciting. So, no, full credit to them.
Fantastic. We look forward. I think they've said as well, once the consultation's over, they get planning permission, it's going to take at least 3 years. And again, they will try and do it so there's like minimum disruption sort of throughout the season and stuff. I'm sure it'll be very well planned. And that, in, as you say, building on what you said, Dave, and I've said it many times before, that employment of local people and the whole development of East Manchester is what's fantastic. They really think about that. Fantastic. Let's talk about the football then. A win against Newcastle. They had their chances, as I said. Your thoughts, Dave, on the Newcastle game?
It, you know, as we discussed last week, it was an interesting one because you never really know how they're going to be coming off the back of the disappointment in the cup final. I think that, you know, they are a good side. They're maybe not, you know, where their place at sort of Christmas time would have suggested they were. They're still, you know, in the early phases of a rebuild. But let's not forget, it took us 3-4 years to reach, you know, reach the sort of Champions League, reach some top end of things. And, you know, they did at points look very good. At other points, you know, they looked like they struggled to deal with us. But I think the thing I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit today was the problem that we seem to have against these teams. You know, we had against Bristol, we had against Newcastle, we had it in a more meaningful way against Nottingham Forest, where we're 1-0 up and we do look like we're letting teams in a little bit. So, you know, great goal from Foden, admittedly a big deflection, but, you know, he really added something. But when we got to 1-0, there were a good number of chances where I just thought Newcastle looked quite dangerous. There was, you know, one where Callum Wilson scuffed the ball, another one where Joe Linton missed the ball completely, which on a different day, you know, they could have gone in. That would have been a very, very different game. And it's these fine margins that just suggest to me we're not necessarily, you know, taking control of these games when we need to. But again, you know, we did find that second goal this time. We, you know, there's a good bit of one thing I was reading somewhere about how Pep's got his much better set up now to deal with counter-attacks. And it did feel like we were doing quite well when Newcastle went long at us at winning the second ball and turning defence into attack quite quickly. But, you know, I do just worry that we need to be that little bit quicker when we're 1-0 up to make ourselves get out of sight, because that is getting a bit worrying for us at the moment.
There was a period, wasn't there, Rog, where, as Dave rightly says, at 1-0, it could have easily gone to 1-1, and that clever substitution from Pep did make a difference. KDB did not look on his game. He's not going to perform at the top level every week. Brought Bernardo on, and what a difference he made. And just to add also to the fact that having Phil Foden back and playing, I think, in the form of his life, I think he was absolutely head and shoulders man of the match. He looked superb, and that's been the case in the last two or three games, in fact. What a revelation he's been, and he's looking world-class, isn't he?
Yeah. We're so lucky. It's funny because someone was talking to me on the tours yesterday and they were saying Phil Foden is effectively being groomed to replace David Silva, and what a great replacement for David Silva, the legendary David Silva. But actually, he's brought a little bit more than David Silva because his goal scoring is phenomenal. He was man of the match against Bristol City. He was man of the match against Newcastle. He's right back on form, as you rightly say. The one thing that I did have a concern about was that Bernardo was on the bench from the start against Newcastle. And we just struggled to get continuity of flow of play. Passing movements were quite short and interrupted. I'm not disputing the fact that Newcastle are a good side, and they made a, you know, and they made a good game of it. But I thought Bernardo would have just, the ball sticks with Bernardo and he passes to blue players, you know, and we were able to hold on to the ball much, much better when he plays. So I was quite surprised that, unless he was rested, which of course could be the case. KDB, yeah, maybe he was, again, he was brilliant against Bristol City, so we can't expect that every single game. Didn't quite come off for him on Saturday, but you know, he'll be back. Yeah, he's one of the top 10 players in the world at the moment, Kevin De Bruyne, so let's not worry about maybe a slight off day for him.
I used to get criticised on this podcast, Rog, when I used to say, people say, you know, David Silva, one of the great, I used to say no. And you know, when you have your like your 11 best ever City players, he wouldn't be in my top 11. He wouldn't make it. And the reason is I don't think he scored enough. And you've made that point yourself. You may not have realised it, but you, in that introduction, you made that very point yourself. And you're saying that Foden's like, he's scoring. He's the same as Silva. Oh, he's the same. He's potentially going to be as good as Silva, is what you're saying. But he's scoring goals, which Silva didn't do. He missed too many.
Icing on the cake for Foden is scoring goals.
A great footballer, of course. Won everything with City, a City legend, whatever. But he's not in my top 11.
Interesting. Off air, we'll ask you about that. Yeah,
you can ask me now if you like.
All right, go on then. Name your top 11.
Oh no, all 11. No, I'm not going to do that now. No, you're right.
That's what I mean.
I say no.
I'll give you a bit of time to think about.
That would bore everybody, wouldn't it? Vic Gomesall would be in there, obviously. Again, Dave, ask your granddad about Vic Gomesall. Right, Lizo, come on, Phil Foden.
Dave, ask your granddad about David Silva. In fact, Dave, ask your granddad about Man City.
We've just got our title for the podcast this week. It's ask your granddad. There you go. Thanks,
Lisa. Excellent.
I think you guys have been a little unfair on City here, because we've been used to the last two or three seasons where we dominated everything, points, goals, everything. And the other teams now have started to try and play players out, play differently. Brentford, I always remember playing the long ball from the keeper. It worked. They beat us. If you remember at the Etihad, all we did was we just played in one half. They just had 11 players behind the ball, hoping that we wouldn't score against them. And if they kept it down to 4-0, they were happy. They went away happy. And I think now the likes of Newcastle have had big investment. Man United have got one of Pep's prodigies, Ten Hag. Arteta is now at Arsenal. They're all starting to play and think like Pep. So now we've got competition. So they're obviously going to get, and if you look at the two Arsenal games that we've had, one in the Cup and one in the league, we've had to play differently in both games because one is outthinking the other. And again, we're going to be playing them again in the league at the Etihad soon. And I think it'll be a totally different game again. You know, look at Rico Lewis. He's a right back, but hang on, he tucks in. You know, and it's all about, I think, everybody's now trying to work out how Pep thinks, to be honest with you. So I thought it was a great win for City on Saturday. I think, Kevin De Bruyne wasn't on his best. But again, what did good old Pep do? Bring Bernardo on. You know, people have had a go at Haaland. But Haaland had two great big centre-backs on him, Burn and Scar, and he was pulling them down. He was taking them away, giving Jack Grealish a run against them. So I thought it was a tremendous a game on Saturday, and I thought the plan worked well.
And it's not a problem. Were you happy to see Haaland run 40 yards to shove Dan Burn out the way to protect his mate Grealish, who was on the floor, Dave? With my referee's top on today, I thought I'd just ask this question here. Is that something that should be encouraged, that we should be having players running 40 yards and shoving big players out the way to protect their own colleagues?
As a fine, upstanding gentleman, I couldn't possibly condone this. As a football fan, I'd say it doesn't happen often enough.
Yeah. David, ask your granddad about the fights on the pitch. I think it started to come into football too much now. It seems to be happening at every game, not just City. I think it happened at Everton. It's happened at every game. And in fact, that's probably a question for you, Nigel. Are referees being too lenient with these players? You know, we've seen Casemiro sent off with allegedly putting his hands around the neck. You know, when you see something like that from a referee's point of view, what's the refereeing bodies behind that? Do they encourage to let it go on and you just give yellow cards out as and when, or do you try and stop it beforehand?
I think you obviously try and stop it. I think the one thing that one of the reasons I hate rugby so much is that whilst it's a much more physical game, they get away with a huge amount. As long as they call the ref sir and get back 10 yards when they're told, they can, you know, kick each other's heads in, and I have a major problem. You can't raise a hand in football. You can't push people around. And whilst I completely understand, and I can understand Dave, a fabulous comment, I like it a lot. Yeah, you've got to protect your colleagues, but I think we've got to be careful, you know, running 40 yards and getting involved. I think he was actually lucky with just getting away with the caution there. Yes, Dave?
I think the one line I will draw, the one thing from the weekend where I think there's a big distinction to be drawn here, very different, a player like Haaland going and sort of protecting his teammate in that way. Very, very different what happened in the game we don't want to mention yesterday, where Bruno Fernandes did bit of a push on the linesman. That is a very different kettle of fish. I think physical contact with officials versus physical contact with opposition, entirely different thing.
You see, it's really interesting. The assistant referee, who I think you're referring to, actually sort of got involved first. He actually put his hands on him first, which when I saw, I thought, what's he doing? You know, he shouldn't be doing that. And so I think that the assistant referee put himself in a very difficult position there. Not, of course, that the player should be touching referees, of course. I think if you strike a referee, it's something like a 10-match ban or something, quite rightly. So I think there's a slightly different issue at play there as well. Let me come back to City, because I certainly don't want to talk about other games involving those teams, particularly unless we absolutely have to. Someone that I've talked about a lot recently is Ake. And I just leave that there for everybody just to nod and smile nicely about what a player, what a season he's having. I think, you know, you talk about Rodri, Roger, I'm sticking Ake up there at the moment in terms of what a season he's had as a player. But great to have Diaz back as well. He was looked superb, I thought. Didn't he then, Lizo? You're either falling asleep or nodding in agreement. I can't quite work out which one it is.
Nice. How can I fall asleep in your podcast? No, I think he should be club captain. I think he's a leader.
He did show leadership. He did show some leadership there, which I think we've been lacking a bit, to be honest.
But again, you know, we can talk about the whole City team. You know, look at Akanji, £15 million. And he's been the best centre-back there is. You know, and like you said, Ake, well, his link-up with Grealish at the moment is superb. So why do we need a left-back? So again, the whole team seems to be gelling together nicely. To be honest with you, and when one has an off day, somebody comes in and takes over, and I think it's just great. Gundo's absolutely superb at the moment. He's off the ball work, and I know we keep talking about Haaland, but remember it's his first season in the Premier League, sure. Top goal scorer, breaks Aguero's record, you know, and he's frightening to death. The only thing I have, and I won't say it's a criticism, and I think you guys will mention it, I think our midfield players are frightened to put that ball through the middle for him to run onto. I think they don't have that confidence yet they'll do that. But if you look at him, he's got pace. So whether they're told not to do it or whether it's just Kevin supposed to do it, I don't know. But I think certainly next season we might see a better Haaland, shall we say.
We've talked a lot about him. I want to throw one other name on the table because he reached a very impressive milestone, which is 100 clean sheets in the Premier League. And he has come in for a little bit of criticism over the years. Not just on this podcast, but in other places as well. Rog, Edison, 100 clean sheets needs a mention, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Great credit to him because, let's face it, he spent 70 minutes spectating, doesn't he? 75 minutes, 80 minutes. You know, the biggest challenge for him is maintaining concentration levels. And I just think he's brilliant. You know, he's able to do that. He's able to pull off the saves when it's important for us. 100 clean sheets is incredible in the Premier League. Absolutely incredible for a goalkeeper to reach that, that mighty position. You won't get me criticising him at all. I think he's superb. And for me, forgive me, I think he's better than Alisson as well.
I think we're forgetting about, and we're talking about clean sheets, but look at the assists he's made. Look at the long balls he's made for Aguero and other teams down the left and right flanks. He's just superb as an outfield player as well. So, yeah, no, all credit to him.
Fantastic. Let's look forward to Crystal Palace away. Nice old-fashioned ground, corrugated iron to smash your hand against throughout the game. Make a nice noise there. Rattle those stands. Enjoy going there. Nice big column to stand behind as well, which we're not used to anywhere else in the Premier League, or not many places. It's one of those few grounds you do have to endure that in the away corner. Dave, your thoughts ahead of Palace away, who were on a bit of a difficult run at the moment.
Well, it's always a bit of a banana skin, isn't it? I remember, you know, last season we went there. I still don't know how we didn't score. It was one of those just ridiculous games. But it does seem to be they're one of those teams who are a completely different proposition at home to playing them away. To when they play away, sorry. I do think this season they seem to be lacking something a little bit. They haven't quite kicked on under Vieira in the way they'd have been hoping. We really should be winning this. But again, they do put on a brilliant atmosphere. It's a cracking old ground. But yeah, I do always worry, you know, it's one of those sort of games where you can very easily find yourself dropping points because they do seem to put on a bit of a show when the big teams turn up.
Lizzo, Crystal Palace away. Easy. 3 points. Sorted, in the bag.
Pass. Talk to me next week.
All right, I'll pass then. Reedy. Reedy. He's gone.
Listen, there's no easy games, are there? You know, we've got to be on top of our form. Pep will be aware of the way Patrick Vieira plays. It's a tough challenge. It's a tough old ask going to Selhurst Park. I do just want to mention one thing, if I may, and that is that the game is going to be on Sky. I've got to just mention this because I was working yesterday, so I'm pleased to say I missed that game between the other two clubs in the Northwest that we've heard so much about. But I've got to say, I did catch the end where there was a discussion involving the so-called pundits. And I've got to say, I do not understand what Sky's policy is with these guys, because we're now listening to people who, you've got to say, you can compare them with the babbling idiots that you get on fan TV. You know, these are fans of clubs talking absolute nonsense, and Sky are paying them, millions in salary. It just doesn't stack up for me. I sincerely hope they are not going to be commenting on this game on Saturday, because I will be watching on Sky, but I'll be watching with the sound down if these two Muppets are on it.
I guess you could argue that Micah Richards, I guess, will be there if it's the City Games. He'll be giving the City view.
I hope so. I so hope so, yeah.
Yeah. All right, then. Well, listen, I'm off to ask my granddad about Harper Hay, what it must be like there, thanks to Roger Reed. But it's been a great pleasure. Thank you to my three guests, to Ian Lees, to Roger Reed, and to Dave Hodgson. This is Nigel Rothman saying thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.